Good morning, Upper Cumberland, and welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. I got a special guest in the studio today. Name is Steve Medden. Steve, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. I'm proud to be here.
Man, this is one I had kind of written down for a long time on my possible guest, Steve, and excited we finally got to the point where I could bring you in here. And, you know, we got a past together coaching, and, you know, you were just a little bit ahead of me, you know, coming out of the coaching ranks and down at Upperman, and then some other jobs that you had along the way. And we're going to really dive into that and talk, you know, fill the folks in who I know a lot of people around this area know you. Talk to some of our student athletes here recently. And, you know, it seems like every time someone from that era comes through and I get to talk to them, they ask about how you doing, and you kind of dropped off the radar a little bit of late, and we'll talk about that too. But it's a real pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. I'm, as you said, I'm a Cookeville boy, born and raised. I went through our programs here in Cookeville. I went to Parkview Elementary and on to Cookeville Junior High, and then at that time we were Putnam County Senior High, and I had the opportunity to play for Coach Ken Honey and football over there, and had a very good experience. I think Ken Honey was one of our better coaches come through Putnam County in my lifetime. But I enjoyed being raised up here and graduated Cookeville High School in 1975 at a young age of 17 years old. And I didn't turn 18 until my senior year or until my freshman year at Tennessee Tech. I enrolled at Tennessee Tech and went there a couple of years and decided that I wanted to play football. I wanted to play college football. And Coach Wade, he was trying to get me to come out and play there at Tech. And I just decided that the only way I was going to do anything in college was to move out of town and start over. So I went up and walked on at the University of Tennessee and really enjoyed that. Coach Majors was the coach. And, of course, I was a walk-on. And I didn't know. I probably would have thought different if I knew that Robert Shaw was going to be the center, and I was going to be a walk-on nose guard and get to practice against him every day. And you know, I got that opportunity for a year. Then he went on and played, you know, starting center for the Cowboys the next year. So
wow,
it was a trail.
Well, I'll tell you what, that spanned a lot of years right there. I want to dive back into your time as a young person in Cookeville, Tennessee. Everybody that I get that comes on here, Steve, they and then the folks listen to the replay and the podcast, and their, you know, their questions I get, well, you know, how has times changed for those folks that actually grew up in Cookeville, the way Cookeville was a while back and then to the way that it is now? So I've started asking those questions for my guests that come on. So for you, growing up as a young man in Cookeville, Tennessee, and you said you went to Parkview. Mm-hmm. So I was a Rocket too. So let's go back to those days. And I remember that as a real fun time being at Parkview and you know, coming, you know, through elementary school. It was a little bit different back then. We went K-6 at that time, and then middle school or junior high was 7 and 8, and then we went on to high school. So talk a little bit about what it was like for you growing up in Cookeville.
Well, I was an only child and lived in down where I live now, but it was rural. We had just a small road and not a lot of kids to play with, so I learned how to throw a ball up and hit it myself. I didn't have anybody out there playing with, but Parkview was a great time in my life. Henry Farrell was the principal, and that man was awesome. He ran a tight ship, and everybody, all the students understood the way it was, and you understood if you deserved a paddling, you got one.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was, you know. And Cookeville Junior High was the same thing. You ran into Mr. Cecil Allen and Mr. Burley Cannon, and they ran a tight ship over there. But I guess what topped it all off was when I got to high school and Mr. Gertie's Carr was there. And he had no problem giving myself a paddling my senior year. I on a football day, I had my jersey on, and he gave me an opportunity to give me 3 licks or 3 days because I was tardy the first period. He said he'd, you know, been doing that just been waiting on me to take care of that, and there, you know how that worked out.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Parkview and junior high and Cookeville High School taught me how to behave. I had good parents, you know, and Cookeville was you knew everybody in small town. Red lights started flashing at 10 o'clock, and you know, there was one place open at night, and we had like two police officers working for the city and two or three for the county, and but we didn't have any trouble.
So much to unpack here, because I, you know, your perspective is pretty cool, being an educator and a county commissioner and a coach also. So I get a lot of time folks say, boy, kids have really changed nowadays. My take on it, Steve, is kids hadn't so much changed as their home life and their upbringing. I think personally, my opinion, that's the difference in the kids nowadays. How do you feel when someone talks to you about that?
Oh, it's tough. It is so tough when to try to manage those kids. I mean, the home life reflects a lot the way I've seen the changes here. And of course, you know, and I've been out of the business of teaching for 5 years, and I'm sure it's changed since then, but it's tough. I tell you what, I got two grandchildren that's going to be going here. My grandson, he's 6 years old, and he goes to Parkview School right now, and I am so proud that they're able to do that. And, you know, I just hope that he can step in the right steps and have the right guidance like I did to stay through and go through school.
So you mentioned it, so I'm gonna kind of talk about it, paddling.
Oh,
I mean, you mentioned there a few people along the way. me and you had a pretty comparable past,
yes,
big boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Sam. I'm sure you had the same discipline that I did.
Yes.
Some of that. But, I taught at Cool High School for 25 years, and I would tell those kids up front, hey, look, I got paddled as a senior at this school, so I don't want to hear anything about anything. Of course, we stopped paddling a long time ago. You know, I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess a lot of people got a lot of arguments about it. It helped me.
Yeah.
I wasn't late to first period anymore, I'll tell you that.
I agree with you, and I don't think that's the single sole reason that discipline may be a little bit different than it was. I think home life's got a lot to do with it. I think, you know, possibly you see these statistics and you hear percentages. A lot of families now are single parent families, or a situation of divorce maybe happens in their family and one parent's trying to do both jobs. To me, I think that's kind of the overlying cause of some of the situations where people may think students have changed. I don't think kids have changed a whole lot. I just think it's the expectation and what they're dealing with at home has definitely changed a bunch.
Yeah, well, myself and Coach Lamb, we taught deep in the driver's ed program. When we first moved into Cobble High School, we had a real good driver's ed program. And a lot of the parents were so grateful. A lot of the moms said, I'm a single parent, and I'm scared to death to teach my child how to drive. We just got one vehicle. I just can't afford to have it wrecked. And that really started coming on about 20 something years ago. And we saw more of that. And I think that those programs like that really help the parents.
We're talking to Steve Medlin, former coach and teacher and county commissioner here in Putnam County. And Steve, I agree with you there wholeheartedly in that situation. It you know, kids, what they're growing up with today is a lot different. You took it back to Cookeville, and things were a little bit slower at that time. The red lights started blinking red at 10 o'clock, and you know, I'm pretty sure you probably remember that as a very good time in your life.
Oh, special. The times of Little League baseball, I was so proud of playing Little League baseball there at Parkview in the only field we had with the wall, you know, and of course I was a little bit younger than the boys just in front of me, and they were state champions. Our 1966 Little League team, I think a lot of the local boys, Jimmy Lewis, Robert Dalton, a lot of those boys, Thomas Lynn, they were on that team, and they were state champions. That's never happened again that I know. We may have won another one since then, but it's been tough, you know, to get back there. But that was so good to play there. And you know, I was telling somebody not long ago, I read an article in the Herald Citizen where in the original days of that Little League program, we were the first Little League program in the South to integrate and let some of our black athletes play in that program. And I think that's huge for us.
Yeah.
Huge.
It's huge. And it brings up my next point. You know, some of the names that you just mentioned, you know, really are leaders in our community. And that takes me to the point and the question to ask you. Sports definitely had a lot to do with the way that you turned out. And those guys that you mentioned, you know, they were on a state championship little league team, first probably ever in Cookeville area. And that had to present them with some discipline and some expectations and maybe some leadership opportunities for what their life would turn into as time went on. How did sports affect you and playing sports when you were younger?
Oh, it was, you know, my dad was really high on me being playing sports, and so he would take us to the ball games, and we would, you know, if you went over there on a little league game, you'd get in the back of a pickup truck and ride to Dairy Queen. Somebody, some dad would buy the milkshakes, you know, and today you don't see that anymore because they would, they'd look down on kids in the back of a truck, I guess. But those were good times. And then when I got out of college, I really lucked out. My last year of college, I got to do my student teaching, and I got sent from the University of Tennessee, I got sent to Oak Ridge. And as a student teacher, and we won the state championship that year. Emory Hale was the head coach, and Paul Brewster and Chick Grant, and they were his assistant coaches. And I saw the top of the mountain then. I mean, I thought, man, this is pretty good. You know, this is that's a program that, of course, I just walked in as a student teacher, but it was a blessing for me to get to take off and do that.
Well, I mean, getting the opportunity to be at a place like Oak Ridge and you know, during their heyday, Emory Hale and Brewster, you know, those guys went to college football and did a really good job there. So we're going to pick right back up, and it's time for a break. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Steve Medlin.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Again, we got Steve Medlin in the booth this morning talking about life and times in Cookeville. And as we left, we were talking about Steve being a student teacher down in Oak Ridge, working out of the University of Tennessee as a student and getting his student teaching practice in, and walked into a situation where, you know, Oak Ridge was pretty dang good football team, you know, back in the day and even still today. And you got the opportunity as a student teacher to go through a state championship year. And, you know, that had to be beneficial for you to see a program that was done the right way. Good athletes, yes, but just a traditional school with good expectations. That had to mean a lot to you then.
Oh, it did, Sam. It was so lucky on my part. Those guys had worked so hard in that program for so many years, and they had it built, and they had it ready to go. And I just stepped in, and Coach Emory Hale, he said, you know, Steve, you're going to throw balls to the receivers. And I said, that'd be fine. I'll go right over here and do that. And I just watched and tried to absorb all I could. And man, we went 15-0, you know, and won that thing.
I'm going to tell you what, I got to ask you this. The game, as you know, the game of football has changed a whole lot. So I this pops in my head. So what were they running at that time? I'm sure probably was the wing T or some variation, or the I had to be.
Yeah, it was the I. Yeah. It was the I, and they were under center. And the boy that was the quarterback went on to University of Kentucky, signed a scholarship, and their tailback was the main thing. He was so fast, and he just got in the I and ran, you know, just common football plays, off tackle and sweep and dives, and played defense. Oh, our defense was just smothering, you know. They were – Paul Brewster pretty well ramrodded the defense, and he was hard, boy. I tell you what, he expected a lot, and he got a lot. I tell you, win championship.
So this football goes in cycles. You've been around a while, and you've seen everything. So it's amazing, you know, I guess from my point of view, when I was in school at Cookeville with Ken Honey, you know, we saw a lot of eye. Very rarely, Steve, did we see the wing tee. I remember playing one team, probably the wing team. By the time I get out and I go down, you know, get through college and I go down to Smith County and that's my first job and I come back, heck, there's wing tee everywhere.
Yeah, that offense is tough. I tell you, you know, it's hard to stop. I know a lot of defensive coordinators have just had terrible times with that. But I, you know, I left there and got into coaching at Jackson County High School. Was raw and young and took me a while, but we did some good things. The kids tried hard. And I'll tell you, Sam, all the positions that I've had and involved in, I have just been blessed with kids that bought into the program and tried to get better. And that did happen at Jackson County High School. And I had an opportunity then to take a little bit, I thought was a little better position at Grundy County High School as far as the number of people I could have on the staff. And Chris Pickett he was my student teacher while I was at Jackson County High School. And so he went with me. Of course, he was from Grundy County. And we went up there and just had the greatest program going. Now, I got schooled up on coaching football in that valley because Don Grider was down in South Pittsburgh. Yeah, and he was hammering the nail, and he taught me right quick what I better go home and work on. You know, I better get my blocking and tackling down because it was embarrassing. And Ken Cockwit was at Marion County.
Wow.
When I came out of that valley, I certainly had been schooled up by some masters, and so I brought that back with me and tried to instill it at Cookeville High School. And, you know, the kids bought into it. I was there for a long time. And I tell you, we had to do what we could do. And I used a lot of Coach Honey's philosophy in that, you know, he would find two or three good blockers, and that's where we'd run that ball. And then we had a couple of running backs like Stevie Buckner and the Buckner boys and boys that would just absolutely hit that thing, Ricky Knight. And I was so proud of that program. Going, you know, to where we finally got in the playoffs and we finally got to where we could win a few. And then came John Ledford and Tyler Wolf and Hennigan and them boys. And we went to third round. You know,
yeah.
I thought that was big steps, but we did what we could do. You know, we weren't flashy. We just get 3-4 yards and line back up.
It's a big year, no doubt. We'll talk some more about that. Talking with Steve Medlin, former coach in Putnam County, former teacher and also county commissioner. Steve, you went away and got to Grundy County, and then something happened and you had to get back to this area. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sad morning. One Saturday morning, I got a call from my aunt and said, your dad has had a heart attack and he's not in too good shape. And that happened to me in November. The season was over at all, and we came back, and he passed away. And we just decided, my wife and I, and we had two small children, and we decided it'd be best for move back over here and be around my mom. She was, me being the only child, there wasn't any other support. So
sure.
It was a good move. I hated to do it. My boys were, you know, we had just built the program up to where we had 20-something seniors,
Wow.
And the season I left, Coach Pickett took over there and had a great season, went into the playoffs. I knew we left a lot of good talent, so I was blessed. I got good kids over there.
You get back to Cookeville, and you get back to supporting your mom, which I think was definitely the right thing to do, really the only thing to do. And then you're here for about 2 years, and that's when you latched on to being a county commissioner. Can you tell me how that happened?
Yeah, I don't know how it happened, but and it was okay. I enjoyed it. It was at that time to where we were just moving into the new Justice Center, so I really didn't have anything to do with that. But we were making the decision about building a school. And, man, I tell you, that was so much of a decision, and I actually made the motion to build the school we got, because if we hadn't, I don't think we'd have got one. I was for building multiple schools, and I have learned in the past that in dealing with the football part, the sports part, it's the geography we're at. We're up here on this plateau, and it's hard to, you know, it's hard to get teams from Murfreesboro to come up here and play in a JV game or a freshman game. So I think we would have been just a little better off if we'd have had two or three schools, and then we could have played within our area and played the Smith counties and the Oldham counties. And but we built such a big school that, that it just put us out.
You know, it. I guess hindsight's easy to look at now because you look at the size of Cookeville High School, and, you know, we both went to Cookeville High School, and I don't have a negative thing to say about
it. No, I don't either.
But I just, you know, having a Cookeville South and a Cookeville North, you know, something like that, kind of what you saw in Murfreesboro with Riverdale and Oakland as they continue to grow. And now you look at Murfreesboro and Mount Juliet, and those, I mean, they're building a school a year at least.
After hindsight, and as you say, it's easy to look back, but after walking in those tracks and seeing what it takes to have a real good program, you've got to have a good ninth grade program. You've got to have a good JV program. And to do that, you got to get people to play you. And if you're too big to play the smaller schools around, they don't want to play. And the bigger schools, they don't want to come up here and play those games because they can get all the games they want right around them. And, you know, if I had a magic wand, it could go back and say what we probably should have done. If we'd have built a school, I wouldn't have any problem with having school at all good. I wouldn't have a problem with having one at Prescott. I wouldn't have a problem with having one where we're at now. And you got Baxter and Monterey, and that would level us down to where we could play each other. We do in middle school now anyway.
Right.
We could play each other, and we could get into those regions with Overton and Smith and have a great season.
Yeah, it's just logistics. You know, we're mainly talking logistics here because it – you know, like you said, it's hard to get those folks to drive all the way up on the plateau because sometimes their furthest trip besides us is 20, 30 minutes.
That's right. That's right. And we play JV games on Monday nights and freshman games on Thursday nights. Well, if they come to Cookeville and play a JV game on Monday night, they don't get back home and get those kids in the bed till 11, 11:30. And when they could be in Murfreesboro playing a JV game, be home 30 minutes.
I'm experiencing that right now with my sophomore volleyball player who's on the JV. So we know exactly. We got home one night about 11:30, so it's tough. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Steve Medlin and continue our conversation. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. We're talking to former football coach, teacher, and county commissioner from Putnam County, Steve Medlin. Interesting conversation on you know, size of the schools and the decision to build, you know, what is now Cookeville High School. And logistically speaking and fundamentally speaking, it's one of the biggest schools in the state of Tennessee, square footage. And, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, what that, you know, it's just a big place, Steve. We both taught there and, you know, used to, we had about 8 minute breaks just so the students could get from one place to another and get to their class on time. It's just a big school.
Yeah, people don't realize that building had 440,000 square feet in it. And, you know, it's huge. But it as I look back, and of course, that's 20 something years ago when we were making those decisions, I did not take into account the geography. We just built ourselves out of a range to what you have to have to build a program, to have a good athletic program, which, you know, school starts in the fall. Football is a lead hand on that. If you got a real good football season going on, it just makes your school year better.
Yeah.
And it's just tough up here where we're at because to have a good program, you've got to have that solid JV program. And then, of course, when we moved and you were with Coach Chambers, when we moved into that school, we adopted the ninth grade program. We didn't have the ninth grade program. It was always at the junior high, and we had a great ninth grade program in that they could play local schools.
Right.
They could play, you know, nobody, it wasn't that they were too big. They could play Overton and DeKalb and so forth. But when we moved them in with us, all of a sudden, no. And, you know, it's tough. The Murfreesboro region, they have their own ninth grade league. They don't want to see it,
yeah,
because they don't want to come up here.
Yeah,
you know,
and you can't blame them.
No, and so I really, really wanted to have our ninth grade program solid because I'd seen it solid all my life. They were Coach Chambers and those guys coached at the junior high. You know, it was tough, and the JV program we have, you know, you have a lot of kids playing, and you expect them to fundraise, you expect them to practice, you expect them to not miss a practice, but on Friday nights they don't get to play.
Right.
So you need a good JV program for those kids to play.
Well, and it's prep. You know, it's prep. You get to know the kids that way, and you get to work them out. You get to get them bigger, faster, stronger, which is hugely important nowadays to the game. And, you know, you were in the middle of all that, and you just said it was 20-something years ago when that decision was made, and now we're almost full circle, Steve. There's a lot of folks coming into Putnam County. And we're to a point to where, you know, I know for a fact in my job, the CTE program over there at Cookeville, there is no space left to add any classes or any teachers. And so we're to a point now to where we're back full again. And then we're probably going to have to be making some of these decisions. We both know there's going to be a new school built down near where we both live in the west side of Cookeville. And that's going to be, it looks like it's going to be a K-8. And the plans are already done. Money's already being spent on that. And then you got to start taking a look at the next 5 years after you get, you know, to that next school and try and figure out what the population dynamics are going to be. And there's one thing that we know, you know, you look, you take a look, it used to be Murfreesboro, fastest growing city in the United States of America. And now that's kind of moved toward more toward Mount Juliet, right on I-40 right there. Well, the next step for Mount Juliet over this way, the biggest city, is Cookeville. So I think we're starting to experience some of that growth.
Yes, sir. And being in Putnam County, if you want, you need to go down on a new road there, Tennessee Avenue, and take a look at it, because it's not going to look that way in a few years. It is changing rapidly, and we're just going to grow and grow and grow. And don't get me wrong, I think we've got a great school system. I am so proud that my kids come through that school system and my grandchildren are in it now. And you know, I think it's absolutely fantastic the way we take a approach to educating our children here. But I really would like to see us think about athletics in the way that we design our schools and build our schools. And we're not, we just don't have enough people around us to support being a 2,000 plus school because of athletic we have to get in.
Yeah, and that, you know, something in the near future, no telling what it is. I mean, the population is going to dictate that something's going to have to be done about that. I don't know where a good place for a new high school would be. You got probably plenty of options. I love the thought process we talked about off air of you've already got Allgood over there and you've got an elementary school, a middle school right there on site. And then you move over to the other side of town, you got Prescott that's got an elementary school and a middle school right on site. I think if the logistics in the land would allow it, you've got a good place right there to be able to build that high school and then maybe future high school, you know, when population continues to grow, because it's going to grow. There's nothing that's pointing to us that we're going to level off and Cookeville's not going to grow anymore. Everything's telling us that it's going to continue to grow and probably continue to grow more rapidly.
You mentioned a while ago about the strength of our kids, and a lot of people don't know, but the Gary Rankin, he just owned Riverdale, just owned everybody. Gary was doing so good in Murfreesboro, and you know, hats off to him. He is a great football coach. But Gary posted his weight room maxes on his webpage. And I took that and took it to our boys and said, look here, here's where we got to get. We've got to have so many kids benching over 200 pounds, so many sophomores, so many juniors, so many da-da-da to match these guys. And that group of kids, we hung it up in weight room, in our weight room, and they worked so hard at trying to reach that goal. And we broke it down all the way down to lightweights, 150-pound bench, you know, just everything we could. And the kids changed the program because they were challenged and they earned it in that weight room.
Well, Steve, you had a lot to do with that. I was there at that time. It started with Ron Chambers. We were lucky enough to get you to come back and be a part of that. And I remember the weight room was a huge part of your thought process when – quite honestly, it probably wasn't before that. And I remember you donating your time. You weren't the weight coach at that time. We both did driver's ed. We did some science and stuff like that, teaching-wise. But you took it upon yourself to be a part of that. You opened the weight room up. You went in there after school. You went in there during school. You eventually, you know, got in the weight room with the kids and was able to help them there. And people don't realize what a big focal point that weight room is, you know, getting bigger, faster, and stronger on the field, what a difference that will make in your program.
Oh, it gave our kids confidence in it. You know, the one thing I really miss, and I would have just loved to had turf out there, and they've got it now, which is a blessing. But just to be able to go out on that field and throw the ball around during wet days or winter days or whatever, you know, and enjoy that. But, hey, listen, don't ever back that bunch of kids that came through, they turned that program around. They worked and they had confidence and we were strong and we started meeting those goals. How many kids that went in school had that was benching 300, how many they had at benching 250, and we met that goal and carried it on for years, and it really, really, really changed the football program, just the confidence in the kids.
We're talking with Steve Medlin today, former coach here in Putnam County and various places, actually. Steve, I want to dive back a little bit or jump back a little bit, and you talked about the time with Ken Honey. You know, Ken recently passed away. Still got good old Bill Rasmussen around, actually still out there hitting at wellness at Cookeville High School. So hope Bill's listening out there. Just glad you're still hanging on there, coach, and doing well. But Ken Honey, I mean, he definitely holds a special place in my heart. And I tell you what, that guy knew more football. He's forgot more football than a lot of people will ever know. And the thing that sticks in my mind, I was sitting there end of my junior year in the office, and in walks Watson Brown, who was at Vanderbilt at that time and running a lot of option. And I was just sitting there fly on the wall, and I was like, that's Watson Brown. And the first thing he says, hey Ken, I want to draw some plays up on the board there. It's an option attack, and I want you to take a look at it. And I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, here's Watson Brown, who's running an SEC program, and he's coming down here to talk to Ken Honey about the option.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure when he came in the door, Coach Honey says, come on in, pal.
Hey, pal.
Yeah, hey, pal. And, I just was so, and yourself, blessed to play for that man. And Coach Rasmussen, I can remember the first day those guys drove up, they were hired. They drove from Clinton High School down to our school for spring practice, and we were all in the gym waiting to see what these people look like, who are these new coaches going to be. And here comes Ken Honey, and he's got Bill Rasmussen with him. And, man, I tell you what, we were okay. I mean, we had a good little solid football team. Roy Williams was a tailback, and David Tucker was a quarterback, and we won several games, but hey, Coach Honey went on to have some great teams. I mean, he was hard man to beat, and anybody in the – and I named some great coaches a while ago, Ken Cockwood and Vic Grider and those guys, and Gary Rankin, but Ken Honey, he's right in there with them.
Yeah, and I go back to our senior year. We had, Fred Eggs and Jared, and, five of us went on to play college football. And, our defense was ranked pretty high in the state. Coach Rasmussen was defensive coordinator. And, to me, those years right there, and then Ken leaves and they hire somebody else, and Cookeville goes back down a little bit. And then finally they get Ron Chambers in there. He posts a couple of good winning records. And then Jerry Joslin was brought into the picture from Gallatin High School. And then you talked about that lead up to that year where you guys made it all the way to the semifinals right there. So there's a good stretch for Cookeville football right there. And then Jimmy Maynard followed it up and had a really good year there a couple of years ago. So we've had some really good years, but I think the logistics, weigh into that picture also. But it's good years there during that whole time frame, and you were lucky enough to be involved in it.
Really good years. I was Coach Johnson came in here with the old rough and tough mentality. He wanted to play football and run off tackle and tackle good, and I was so proud the first time that we went to Gallatin. We went down there, and it was a return home for him, and he was wanting to win that game so bad. And we turned Ricky Knight loose on him down there, and Ricky Knight and his buddies that were Jamal Henley and that bunch that was with him, they beat Gallatin down there that night, and that was one of the just a fantastic opportunity for us to do a little payback.
Well, Steve, I tell you what, I appreciate you taking the time to join us today. This has really gone fast. We're going to have to bring you back and continue that conversation sometime in the future. But thanks for taking time out of your day, and good luck and success with all your businesses. And just thank you, I mean, for all that you've done for Putnam County Schools and for the County Commission and for all of those players out there that you made a difference in their lives. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Sam. And I want to really reinforce all the players at a big place in my heart. And I run into them like you do, and it really means a lot. And I think in the coaching profession, I had a man tell me one time that I grew up with that is a very successful businessman here. He come on the practice field one day, and it was just everybody was tired and hot. He said, Steve, you've got the best job in the world. And I just appreciated that. And, if anybody could ever say that they enjoyed their job, I enjoyed teaching and coaching.
Yeah, I know you did, Steve. Thanks for joining us. Have an awesome day. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Sam.